Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
And now,
it's time for
Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Jesse.
Hi, Sweeney. It's so good to see you again.
It's been a while.
I know it has.
And hello, listeners. Welcome back to Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast.
We're still here. We're still important.
Yes.
We're still a podcast.
And we're starting a new season.
That's right. And this season is special. It's called Conan on the Road.
That's right. We're just going to talk about Conan traveling, whether it's, you know, his travel shows or Conan's favorite remotes. And not just Conan, but sometimes he's had guests or celebrity friends hit the road with him or
for
on their
him.
Own.
Yes. Basically, anytime Conan left the studio
right.
to go do something outside.
Yes.
It's outside Conan.
Because, you know, studios are stuffy. Like, ugh,
yeah.
who wants to talk about that stuff?
No, not let's us. Get some fresh air.
Exactly.
And you're probably in your car or out for a walk listening to this anyway. So let's all go on this road trip together.
That sounds good to me.
I know. So hop in. I got some snacks.
Right. And you know what? Let's catch up because I...
That's right. I haven't seen. Well, no, I haven't seen you.
That's the thing.
You know what?
So let's pretend catch up.
We'll pretend catch up. No, we're actually friends. That's what's so crazy.
Yes. And in spite of doing this podcast together, I keep thinking, well, this will be the episode.
I know we're gonna fight.
Right, but we haven't fought yet.
We haven't fought. In fact, we went out to dinner as a foursome.
Yes, that was fun.
With our significant others.
Yeah. Right, right.
It was really fun.
I matched up with your boyfriend and you took
exactly.
my wife, Cynthia.
I've been waiting for years to make that happen. No, but we did something that I haven't done, mm-hmm. I think, since college.
Yes.
We just take tequila shots.
Oh my God, that's right. How did that happen? Whose idea was that? Did the waiter just bring them over?
Well, we went to this great restaurant, Salazar.
Yes.
And my friend Travis works there.
That's it.
And he just immediately brought out four filled to the brim tequila shots. And I couldn't believe that we all did
it. We all just did it.
We did it.
It was pure pressure.
It was.
In its purest form.
It was
form.
Like, oh, it's
we
free.
We were like teens.
Cool. I guess I'll do it.
Yeah. We were like four teenagers at someone's parents' house. Like,
yeah. So that was fun.
Yes.
So we've kept in touch.
Yeah.
But we've both been up to some stuff.
Yes.
Separately as well.
Well, one thing I did, because we talked about it in the last season, I was thinking of doing this ridiculous open water swim.
That's right. I didn't want to bring it up in case you hadn't done it.
Right. Or drown.
Or drown. Yes.
I'm an incredible... Yeah, understudy. But so I signed up for that stupid Alcatraz swim. And I did it.
You did
August.
It?
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
And the water is 61 degrees.
Oh,
and I didn't wear a wetsuit.
So I know. Did people think you were insane? Because how many other people weren't wearing wetsuits?
Well, I found out up in San Francisco, there's a giant war between swimmers who don't wear wetsuits and swimmers who do wear wetsuits.
Do the non-wetsuit think those wetsuit people are cheaters?
Exactly.
And just soft.
They're not.
Soft-bellied.
The announcer, when we were done, he goes, all right, first let's announce, you know, the results of the people who really didn't do the race, the wetsuit swimmers.
No way.
And I loved it. But that's three quarters of the swimmers.
Well, yeah.
And they were like, they're like,
it's still a hard race, I think, even with a wetsuit on.
Yes.
It's just not.
Well, you know, listen, you go a little faster and you're nice and warm
more
and cozy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like a sea otter.
What
out
if
there.
I got a wetsuit that was like inflatable so it kind of floated too? I mean, is that possible?
You sure, and add a jet engine in the back.
Anything's possible. Yeah.
You start a new category for the race. But I wanted to kiss that guy because I didn't know that was coming. And he goes, and now the people who actually swam the race, the people without wetsuits.
So did that mean that you, like, placed because you were one of the few that actually did it?
I came in my eight, it's my age category. Yeah. And in my age category, I came in fourth.
That's incredible.
Out of four people. Isn't that incredible? The key is to wait. Don't do sports until all your competition dies off.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. I'm like.
But it is, it's interesting that the people that did finish they're all really good in your age group.
Sure. No, I came in second out of four.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I was stunned.
I got a stupid medal.
I got a medal.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't believe it. It was hilarious.
For your trophy case at home.
Yeah.
Speaking of travel.
Yes.
That's actually the theme for this season of Inside Conan.
No one segues like you do.
We're also this season going to be covering the Conan Without Borders series.
Right.
Well,
you mentioned that travel, right?
That took us all over the world.
Right.
Including to Armenia.
Armenia
is where we went with our first guest.
Yes, Sona Movsesyan.
Sona Movsesyan, who also is our great friend.
Yeah. Oh, no, we love Sona.
And hilarious. And
she had great.
Two babies
so
and wrote a book over the pandemic. I was really upset about that.
Yeah, that seems normal.
It's too much.
Yeah.
It's making me feel inferior.
Yeah. Oh, and we have a little note. Something to mention.
We do.
As you're soon about to hear. Yeah, it's a little tease. Our conversation with Sona was briefly hijacked by Conan O'Brien and Joel McHale.
That's right. This was unplanned.
It was very unplanned.
And it sounds that way.
Yes. I don't think they knew we were in here when they barged in.
They wanted
They're stuck.
They just wanted to throw a football around
right
in here.
Yeah. It's time for macho activities.
So here's our interview with Sona and Conan and Joel. Well, Sona Movsesyan, welcome back to Inside Conan.
That's
Thank
right.
you guys so much. And
Your
20th feel awful.
Appearance.
I'm really late and I'm sorry.
Yes, hey. Perfect. Oh, yes. What? Joel, what? Hello.
Hey, I know you.
True to Seattle.
That's right. Go see
me. I've
known Jesse.
No,
Sona, Sona, you stand.
Sona,
we have a chair. Sona, please, don't.
Okay, we also have a mic.
Sona, let them forage for
themselves. This is the podcast where Conan interrupts other podcasts.
Right.
Yes, I heard there was a podcast about myself, and I wanted to come and hear and interject about me. I'm having a wonderful salmon a curry bowl.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And then place. I, Andy Richter.
No. You have that disease where you think you're Andy Richter.
I'm an amazing Andy Richter.
This gentleman, this Joel McHale, comes stumbling by.
Oh, my God.
And I say, you've got to come right now and let me show you our cool hangout space. What do you think of the new digs?
Yeah.
They're fine.
Put the cans on.
Would you...
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You went to the trouble to put on a headset and cans just to say, it's fine.
I just wanted to make sure the velvety fog was coming through my voice. And it sounds like it is. You can turn it even...
There we go.
Turn it down even more.
Mm-hmm. Turn the bass up.
This is a beautiful building.
Gorgeous.
I'm very jealous of all your success.
You should be.
It's really nice. I don't know. I mean, it's really like one of the nicer buildings on Larchmont. And this
really is
a shithole of a neighborhood.
Yeah. You know what?
As
this building's in foreclosure. So we're glad you got in.
What is this a front for?
We need you to write a check.
I brought you in because I want you to bid on it.
Oh.
We've made a terrible mistake.
That's
it comes with a gazebo.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very, it's so clean. It's well made. It's like a Scientology hangout. Well, that's weird.
That, we
it's
don't funny get into you that.
That's
that.
In the second half hour.
They're the 4 p.m. Look-see.
It's afternoon. Too nice, I've decided. I no, just no, no. turned.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful. Everyone seems to like each other, mm-hmm. which also I'm suspect.
It's because you're here.
That'll tip you off.
Everyone's behaving.
Yes. As soon as I walk out,
second
then,
you leave, chairs go through the window.
I mean, you've been working with Sweeney since the 60s?
Please, why would you upset him like this?
I mean, how? It's so great
it's so
that
funny.
You guys get along so well.
Well, Mike Sweeney, so I met him. We had a radio program that we did with Jack Benny.
Well, there was, there was no television at that point.
There was no TV.
And here you are.
But then when
circle.
TV was invented, we decided to make the most of it.
Yeah.
When did you change
your name from
the Beatles
Steve Allen?
To America on our afternoon drive show? We've just had a lot of great moments.
You know, our
together.
Problem is we introduced the Beatles too early.
Yeah. Right.
We introduced them when they were the Silver Beatles in 1961.
Yeah, like that. You're going to love Pete Best. He's
great. Yeah. Pretty- yeah, no this is great, Jesse. I haven't seen you in a while.
I know.
And I was so happy to run into you
it
on
was
the street.
Yeah, you came bounding up to me like a puppy.
I did.
It was great. Yeah. And then I gave you a treat.
You did give me a Jessie, and I slobbered, as I tend to.
I don't know if you know this. She got her start at a little show on E! Called Dr. 90210.
No, but,
botched abortions, no.
Yeah.
Did you know they started out together?
Wait, botched abortion show?
On E! It sounds like something they would do.
She's as dark as I
remember.
How did
you guys know each other? How do you guys, you work together?
That's I worked the on The Soup. That Joel gave me kind of my first job in Hollywood.
I didn't, but
yeah, well, your people
me.
Did.
Yeah, she was, and she
you
was,
tried to stop it. You tried to stop.
I was
Jessica.
Like, there's a lot of aborted fetus jokes in this packet. Can we maybe dial back to 3? She was so funny that she smartly got out.
She was
so
like,
you were there
jolt,
for a while.
And then you came to work for us.
That's right. Yeah.
That's so cool.
And
I mean, literally, this was 2007.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you're there a while.
I was there. I left, and there was a spinoff of The Soup called The Dish that was for girls. It
right,
was The Soup.
The Soup was only for men.
Well,
our demo was women in their 40s. Literally,
but this
it was
for women in their 30s.
Oh,
right. Yeah.
Right. How did The Dish do? I don't know that show.
The Dish, well, it was hosted by Daniel Fischel, who was Topanga from Boy Meets World.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that
We've
show.
Got millennials in the house.
I watched that.
That's like when you say LeVar Burton and they're like, reading Rainbow. Yeah, and you're like, Jordy LaForge. And then someone goes like, Kunta Kinte?
Mike Sweeney is waiting for someone to mention red buttons.
Please.
Anyone red buttons?
I'm amazed that Sweeney went with the Henley today. You never see him in a long sleeve three button shirt.
I'll show you some looks.
Okay. Whoa.
No, that's okay. We're good. I've seen you. Sweeney and I have been all around the world together, as I have with Jesse on the Conan Without Borders episodes. We've been everywhere.
Have you been to?
Not everywhere.
Not Seattle, though.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't really.
You and I have hung out in Seattle.
Yeah, we totally have. That's where we met on the back, the last two rows of. Well, I had met you on the.
This is in a lie coming.
This is not a fucking lie.
Go ahead.
All right.
True story.
We were on Peter Thiel's jet. And, we were
you're
on
not
way.
On the logs, though.
I believe you.
We were in the cargo hold.
I had appeared. This was on the 12:30 show a couple times. And then
I knew you from being on the show. Then I married into Seattle.
Yes.
And
literally.
Yeah. My wife Liza's from Seattle. And so we were up in Seattle.
I think we were
for Thanksgiving, I think, or something like that.
Yeah. Which is a holiday.
In Seattle.
Because I'm a Jehovah's Witness, so I don't celebrate any of that. But I was like, oh, hi. And I was very golden retriever like with you at the gate. And then you were the last row of the Alaska, and we were the second to last.
Yes, it was an Alaska Airlines flight. Mm. You guys were the very last row, you and Sarah. Liza and I were the second to last row. I think we were also wrestling kids into very.
Oh, that's why they put you in the back.
Yeah. They knew what they were doing.
Well, people kept walking to the bathroom and they would be waiting and then they would see Conan. And then you could see them question themselves and be like,
"It was funny
this is
because
not how it's
I
all
love
supposed to line
any
up.
Snapshot. There's this misconception that celebrities are jetting around the world, luxury.
Right, right.
And I'm here to tell you that Joel McHale and I are we are holding down the last row of an Alaska Airlines flight.
Air Alaska's first class is in the back.
Yeah, the seat doesn't go back. So, yeah. And you can smell the disinfectants coming out of the bathroom. That's now going back 12 years ago.
I think it was.
That muscle just held. Yeah, that's how old I am.
When you guys were in your late 20s?
Thank you.
Yeah. That's so very sweet. Nice. Wow. No wonder they hired you at the dish.
Promoter. Demoted. Demoted.
Hey,
Demoted.
Thank you. I love, because I knew that you guys were friends and it felt like somehow I had done it, even though I had nothing to do with it and wasn't.
I thought you tried to drive a wedge between us at some point, because Conan would say stuff like, you know, Jesse said a couple things about you, and then you tested the waters with what that was.
Yeah.
Which was, you just, you know, you sometimes touch people too long, like the long hug.
And I think he might have been testing the waters to see if he could do that.
Oh. Yeah. I was just trying to find out what's acceptable.
I want to know who that guy is.
Oh, that's Sean.
Can you see him too? Is he there?
No, he's not
in his building, did he?
You know what's so funny? Sean is crouching in the corner like there's been a drug raid and he's hoping no one notices him.
Yeah.
And there's no camera
that picks him up
in here.
Yeah. This is nice. This is the last thing you thought was happening because you were headed. Were you headed to your dentist or were you just running errands?
I was supposed to pick up Sarah at the airport like 25 minutes ago.
She's in the last row. Where is
it's Burbank. It's fine. She's fine.
Oh, yeah, she's fine.
They have that Guy Fieri.
Yes, the Guy Fieri restaurant
where you can get almost anything.
Chili, yeah.
Put in a plug. Burbank Airport is the best airport.
It is the greatest airport.
It's a good secret airport. People don't really
know. A lot of Alaska Airlines
was
flights.
A secret airport.
Now, once they hear this podcast.
Don't go. There's it's still a gas secret. Leak.
I feel like we should turn this podcast back over to Sona.
To the guy in the corner.
Okay. What the fuck were they talking about?
It's a little show because we're called Inside Conan, where they explore behind the scenes.
This is, all right. Let's me too it right now.
It's the dirty secret.
We're building the
Are you sure?
Because
Sona
case.
Was preparing for this show with guacamole.
Yeah,
and I think there was another kind of soup.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was. What did
you, I was eating with Sona when you walked up. And then this all happened.
Podcast appearances. I take them very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What you just experienced now was a happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
This regular podcast was happening when suddenly. You know, Conan O'Brien, Joel McHale come smashing through the door.
Anything can happen here.
Right. And anything will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The guy.
Oh, remember the time you and I were having dinner together and
that was
and we
good.
End up. We end
well,
up,
we looked at that nightclub that you were looking at a building on La Brea.
Yeah, I wanted to buy a nightclub. Yeah.
Well,
I
had been a nightclub, but we went to La République.
Yeah, we went to La République just
restaurant.
To grab a bite.
Right.
Because we were looking for a space maybe
that was
before
on
we
purpose?
Found before we found this space.
La République?
You two went on purpose. It wasn't just.
It was right
in.
After I did the show, and you were like, hey, we're going to go look at the building. You want to come look? And I was like, well, let's look at a building.
Yeah. So he looked at a building because we were, it's before we found this space.
Right.
We were looking for a space where
you
we
were
could
there.
Congregate.
I remember
and,
that place.
That place.
Before we were you say who we saw, but we saw somebody else there. Two different people that were like, oh, there's those people.
What are you talking about?
Well, at the same restaurant, because Allison Janney was there with Phil. So they were there.
Wow.
And we talked to them.
And they were doing a podcast.
They were doing a podcast.
And then we were sitting.
And then out of the corner of my eye, I saw a gold prospector enter the restaurant. And I like.
Someone with a beard?
A massive beard. And there's David Letterman. And the next thing you know, we're sitting with him.
Yeah. He kept coming over going like, try the fish. And then he would hand the bread over. And Conan was like, we have to go talk to him. Like,
no, I have to. It was a
huge
treat.
You know what I mean.
Yeah,
like, we're being invited over to, and we sat with them for 4 hours.
It was not 4 hours.
Dave
will tell you it was not 4 hours. He would not tolerate 4 hours with two idiots like us.
He'll tell you in person because here he is.
Oh my God, and look who he's with.
He needs no introduction. You guys were talking and then he turned to me and goes, do you just make noises? Because I was like, mm-hmm. And then
so
I was
he's
like,
a fan.
Yeah, he was a big fan. I think he almost remembered who I was by the end.
I think that night you're also, your wife's waiting at the airport for you. Like, where? Yeah. The
yeah.
Hell
she's getting back
is Joel.
In. Yeah. She was doing a lot of piece work. Boy, she's exhausted. It's like a 24 hour.
Well, I think.
Flight. All right.
I think.
You've tried to.
Conor, it's great to see you dressed up for work.
And. You know, it's so hilarious. I did a workout this morning and I'm wearing sweatpants and a t-shirt.
Think about it. Your great grandfather wore like 9 different kinds of tweed probably yep, sure. And had a stick
yep.
And walking through yes. muck that his feet were wet and he was probably herding sheep
dress shoes.
And fucking a couple of them. Oh, I'm Jesus. Sorry. No,
how
he
did you
wasn't.
Know my grandfather.
So that's your great grandfather. And then your grandfather, he got on a ship, right? Because, you know, like there was a potato famine. This is also half of
my family. You've done your reading.
Like, so and they go to Ellis Island. Like my grandfather's last name was Smidgerbakken. And they were like, what's your last name? And he was Smidgerbakken. Like, it's Jackson now. He's like, sounds great. And he migrated. This is my great migrated to Juneau where they were killing the sheriffs if you were in the And then then all of a sudden, like my dad, you come to your parents who are like, oh, they got a higher education. They became professors. And then like, then you come up and cut to you in your building wearing leisure wear, top of the world.
Can I say, I want to congratulate you on joining the Army. I think this is incredible.
My going to the dentist office.
Okay, so what? You have your excuse for your dressed like saying a G.I. Joe from the 50s.
I'm saying how great is that?
He's saying your ancestors would be proud.
Or they would be like, how did like this was... But no, I'm saying it's such a cool thing.
I mean, usually dress...
Jess is dressed like, well...
Yeah, you have good style.
You thank do. You. That sounds like you know you're being recorded and you don't.
I do know I'm being recorded and I yes. respect you and I think you're one of the
no, it look doesn't look like doll's clothing or anything like that. That's fine. That's fine. I'm just saying that if your grandkids are like, wait, success, wait, you guys will be super like you will have done well and you're wearing what
that's such a great.
I'm saying it as a compliment. I know everything that comes out of my mouth sounds sarcastic, but I'm saying no, it's like a success.
No, it's a terrible, terrible insult to all of us. We're out.
Thank you for letting me be on the podcast.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
We just
thought
we'd burst in and create a bit of excitement, and I guess finally. I misread the situation. Come on, we got to get out on a lap.
Let's get out while it's still hot. Sona, I'll see you at Victory Park.
Okay. Peace out, everybody.
Victory Park. That's right by your
thanks
house.
Thanks for stopping
by. Come back in 5 minutes.
See you in another 10
good
years.
Good to see you, Joel.
All right, bye.
Bye, Joel. Good seeing you. Bye, Cone.
I'm sorry you guys can't catch up if it's not on... It took way camera.
Too long. All right. And we just keep this going, right? Hi, Jesse. How are you?
Hi, wow. Sweetie.
Holy cow. That was crazy, right?
Well, anything how can lucky happen we here. Are.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places. Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network. So whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Yeah, let
back.
Me follow Conan and Joel McHale. Who's going to want to care?
No, Joel won't sign the release. He's a real pain that way. And so, you know, and Conan him. As well. Conan doesn't want to be on this podcast. And he's suing to get his name off it. That's been in litigation for all 4 seasons.
And half his face.
And half his face.
Yeah, he was right. successful.
Yeah. He wants the, he just wants us to use the skull portion. So, hi,
guys. We were
saying. That was a fun interruption. That was great.
That probably feels like your whole life is just, you finally get a moment to yourself and then Conan interrupts
it. I have my time away from him and then he just bursts in anytime he senses that I'm having, enjoying myself.
Yeah, that you've relaxed slightly.
Yeah.
That must have reminded you of the birth of your children. I remember he burst in with Joel.
he did, into the hospital room.
Delivery room. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he started doing a lot of bits.
And they did a podcast.
right.
Yeah. On camera.
Oh my God.
Here comes the placenta.
Oh my God, you guys.
Wow.
I'm really happy to see you too.
I'm really happy to see you.
I am happy to see you too.
Yeah.
Sona, okay. We want to talk about you. We really do. That's why we all came here.
Jesse's all business.
I know. Just trying to move things along.
Sure.
You are technically still Conan's assistant. Is that true or no?
Technically still. Yes.
Okay.
Technically, you know what? I've worked for him for so long that I just can't detach completely.
Yeah.
So I would say in a week, I do maybe one or two things for him.
Okay.
David does everything else. So that justifies my existence.
So you're more of a figurehead assistant.
Kind of. I mean, I still, you know, want to make sure he's okay. I still, like, right now he asked me to lunch and I was like, oh yeah, I have to go to lunch.
You have to go.
That was being the assistant.
I don't know.
Once a week I'll eat with him.
Yeah.
That's me working for the boss.
You know, it's, yeah, I don't know.
So how do you dip in? Like, in other words, you see all the email requests for stuff he needs done. And you're like, oh, I'll do that one.
No, people still email me, not realizing I'm not his assistant anymore.
Right.
And then instead of just bouncing it over to David, I send it to him and Conan. And I'm like, look, I'm doing something. So.
Right.
Is that what you say in the email?
Look, I'm doing something. Yeah.
And that's all she writes.
Yeah. I am justifying my existence as your assistant. But I don't think I could ever... I know this sounds sad, but I can't ever stop being his assistant.
Wow.
I don't know why.
I really love that like job. Stockholm syndrome.
This is really an intervention.
Yeah, I know.
We're going to extract you from a very messy.
I really love this job. I really have fun with this job. It's fun. So.
Well, it has morphed into so much more than an assistant. You're now a co-host of his podcast.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, that could all go away. And then what's left?
Yeah, I guess you go back to picking up dry cleaning.
Or writing more. New York Times bestseller books.
Right.
Hey, 1 week.
It takes one week.
Yeah,
I know.
On the bestseller list, and then you can say I'm a New York Times bestselling author.
That never goes away.
Everything changes too. You're in better placement in stores, which I didn't know.
Oh, really? That's great.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Uh-huh. And then you could just brag about it to everybody. But
that's the key.
Yeah.
You know. Why do anything if you can't brag about it?
Right. I know.
That's the only point.
I know. I keep thinking, like, how do I introduce myself to people? And I think I still introduce myself as Conan's assistant. I don't think I can ever be like, I'm on a podcast and I wrote a book.
I'm an author. Right.
Yeah, I'm an author.
People know. You don't have to tell them what you do. People don't.
Well,
I mean, you get tons of love for the podcast.
I don't know. I don't read any. I don't pay attention.
No, you but guys, I just mean when you're out and about.
You're smart, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. People have recognized my voice, which is cool. Yeah, that's fun.
Well, I feel like people recognize you a lot more after the Conan and Armenia show, which is...
Jesse, what a nice segue.
Really?
Beautifully done.
Thought we might bring you on to talk about that.
I'm happy. Yeah. I think that show changed so much for me.
That's why one of the reasons we wanted to talk about it. And also, yes, this season we're kind of focusing in on Conan outside of the studio, out and about.
Yes.
Remotes. I feel like you could do like 15 seasons just on his remotes, right?
That's the plan.
Are you listening, Sirius?
Yes, we wanted to talk about the big trip to beautiful Armenia.
Yeah. So that was our second Conan Without Borders show.
Yes.
Right.
After Cuba. And how did that come about? I know that Sweeney, you were involved in pitching that.
Way before that. It's funny how things happen organically, especially with Conan. Like in 2012, when he was doing a Clueless Gamer with Blay, and he wore a Yerevan t-shirt.
Yes.
And that led...
I'm assuming you gave him that.
I did give him that.
You gave him that shirt.
I did.
Yerevan's the capital of Armenia.
Yes, thank you. And you got an email from something called Yerevan Magazine.
Yes.
They had seen The Clueless Gamer. Yeah. And they saw Conan's... They were writing to thank him for wearing that shirt.
Yeah.
And they wanted to make him an honorary, like, the Irish ambassador to the Ukraine. And they invited him to visit Armenia.
Wow.
So
yes.
That was the initial...
That's
seed
right.
Of inviting
I completely
him.
Forgot mm-hmm. about that.
And go ahead.
I was going to say, it's how excited people get whenever they see Yerevan on anything. And seeing it on Conan O'Brien was huge.
Yes.
Yeah, for my people.
Is there someone whose whole job it is to just watch all TV and look for mentions of Yerevan.
There doesn't even, I mean, I think everyone has like a detection. It's like, oh, there's a Yerevan shirt on someone who's not Armenian. And then they just find it and then they spread it around to everybody. Just like, make sure you see this. Yeah.
Support. Right. Support very, Conan. Yeah.
Well, whenever I meet someone from Armenia and I say, oh, I've been to Yerevan, they're like, why? And it's like, guys, this isn't the right attitude to have about your country.
Oh, no.
They're like, you're not Armenian. Yeah. What were you doing there? It's like, well, it is an open city. Anyone can visit. You know, and I start, and then I say, no, we loved it. I had a wonderful time. And they start arguing with me, you know, it's just like.
Well, I think because most Armenians now don't live in Armenia. Right.
No, we're most of us live outside.
It's diaspora.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, my husband's from Armenia. You know, I met Tak because of the show.
We wanted to
Can you tell us the story?
Well, we went to Comic-Con for our, you know, we do a week of shows there. And then I was leaving on a late train on Sunday. So I was like, let me just go to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And I met him on the floor through a mutual friend. And then he's like, I know you. You went to Armenia with Conan. And I go, yeah. And then that opened up a conversation. And then 2 years later, we were married.
Well, and it's so great because part of the premise of Conan taking Sona to Armenia was he wanted to do a matchmaking service there.
Yes.
Right.
To introduce you to a nice Armenian man that would make your grandmother happy.
Yes.
And it kind of worked out that way.
Yeah.
Indirectly. You didn't really meet anybody in Armenia on that trip, but as a result of the show, you eventually did meet your husband.
Well, you guys also set up this matchmaker in Armenia, and I had absolutely no idea. Then we go there.
Oh, God,
there.
You didn't? Oh,
I had
no.
Oh, did we spring that on you?
Yes, oh, you so did.
You terrible
did.
People.
No, you guys are so proud of yourselves. You assholes.
You guys are honestly
so proud of yourselves. You're like, oh my God, you dicks. It was probably your idea, sweetie.
No, I don't think so. Not at all. No, the whole idea, the premise, like Jesse said, of the show, part of it was that your parents and your grandparents wanted you. And so, and also Conan was going to bring gifts back for your parents. Like they wanted, we visited with them and they gave us a shopping list. And one of the things besides a nice rug and et cetera was a husband for you.
Yeah. That's all Yaya wanted. My grandma.
Your grandma, yes.
She didn't, I think she knew who Conan was, but didn't care. There were cameras.
No.
She's like, this is a new person for me to tell that I want my granddaughter to be married. And you know, it's really sweet. I don't want to bring it down, but that aired in November and Yaya died in December. And so having that on film was really special. And then 6 months later, I met Tak. So, you know, I mean, it kind of worked.
It did.
So you met Tak literally the following summer after the show.
Yes.
Wow. So.
Yeah.
Wow.
And what did he say he'd watched the show? And
yeah, he said he watched it.
Because he grew up in Armenia.
He was. He's a former Soviet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he speaks Russian.
Oh, cool.
When,
that seems useful.
Does it?
I don't know. Send unfortunately, it does.
No, that was, that trip was meant so much. I have always wanted to go to Armenia.
Yeah, I was wondering if that was something that in the back of your mind you thought, okay, someday I'll get to go. And you just, you know, the opportunity hadn't arisen yet.
Well, no. So I went to an Armenian private school near Montebello, and I went there until 10th grade and then I left. But their senior year trip is always to Armenia.
Oh.
So had I stayed, I would have gone with my senior class.
Yeah.
Oh, so all my friends had gone and I just didn't. I didn't go.
So that was always kind of a regret probably, right? That you missed or?
Definitely not regret for leaving the school.
No, I just been missing the trip.
No, definitely. Right. Really bummed to miss it. I had huge FOMO because it is one of those, it's like everybody wants to go to Armenia at some point, you know, and just kind of go there. It's like a giant Glendale. So it's just really,
there's a big Americana mall. There's a Cheesecake Factory.
Right, that's right. Hey, 38 car washes in one block. I'm back home in Glendale.
So many tracksuits. I can say it.
Yeah.
You can say it and I can laugh.
I can say it too. So many tracksuits. Okay. Oh no, I'm in trouble. I guess that's really disparaging.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, that was a good trip.
I don't know how many people know about the giant Armenian diaspora. The diaspora.
Yeah.
The diaspora.
You took a long time to get that out.
I don't know how to pronounce words. The diaspora. That's one of those words I'm always terrified to see.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know how to say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you tried every version of it right there. So
there. That was a journey. That was a journey.
So, yeah. I mean, what were your expectations going? How were they met when you actually landed there?
I'm not going to lie. I think because growing up, you heard about how they were recovering from the Soviet Union. There was no electricity. Mm. Sometimes there was no running water. So I thought I was going to like a third world country.
Yeah.
And when we got there, Yerevan is like a really kind of bustling, modern city. So I was really surprised about that. I was surprised at how little I understood their dialect.
Oh, interesting.
Because I speak Armenian, but I speak Western Armenian. They speak Eastern, and it's a very different dialect.
Is it actually different, or is it just the accent is different?
No, the like sentence structure is different. Some of the words are different, and they have a lot of Russian in their Armenian.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So I've learned it a lot more now that I'm married to Tak. But when I was there, I had no idea what a lot of people were saying.
Would you pick up on that now that once you came back here? That like, oh, they're.
Yes.
Eastern, Western.
Yeah. Yeah. You can tell. You can tell which Armenians are from Iran, which Armenians are from Beirut. Mm. There's just different.
They all
have different words they use. It's
slang.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Latin America's that way with Spanish. There's like different. Yeah. There's just different slang in every single country in South America. And syntax.
Yeah. That's just how it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like my parents are from Istanbul and they use a lot of Turkish words when they speak Armenian, but you know, I don't know.
I think you do know.
Yeah, so, I was fascinated. In Yerevan, everything was so new because it was all built like since 1989, basically. It felt like, even though the city is really old, but so many of the buildings are post-Soviet.
Yes, yeah, they are. They are.
Yeah, it was on the old Silk Road that, it was an old, going back to ancient Greece, it was kind of a crossroads for trade and everything. So,
see, I didn't even know that. Yeah. You know so much more about Armenia because you guys do much research.
Pause, so I just made that up. Try to fill air here on this.
You guys really do. I will say this because I've mentioned this before when I've talked about this episode, is I'm the only Armenian person who was involved with the show.
Yeah.
And so I was almost like, what if they say something that's just going to offend my entire community and then I'm just completely ousted?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the opposite happened. And I think it's a testament to you guys and the researchers and everybody who's involved in editing it, how you made a show about a culture that people in the culture are very proud of.
Oh, that's so nice to hear.
And it's really, it really is. It's amazing how you guys do that. You've done that with every country you've gone to where
we cut out a lot of stuff.
Yeah. That stuff's available and we'll put that, we have a separate website. If you want to be offended.
If you subscribe to Coco Plus.
That's true. It's
join
so
our
true.
Elite service.
Yeah. Well, I know, especially Armenians, they hold their breath to see how people will address the genocide question.
Right.
And the fact that Conan said it and talked very openly about it and we went to the memorial, he just became a god to Armenians after that.
I thought that was just a beautiful segment. And
I
did like being on commercial television or where there's commercials. Like it was actually after five acts of comedy,
right?
You came back and just went into this serious segment about you visiting the memorial, which was, I think, I always found it very moving and beautiful.
Well, I think also we were walking around. There were all these city. I mean, I hadn't gone to it before, but there were all these villages that were affected by it. And I knew my grandparents was. My grandparents' village was affected by it. But I was like, what if it's not etched in stone? What if I can't find it? And then when we found it, that was like, oh, wow. It just became so much more real.
I remember that when you found that on the wall there. And it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was that for you? I mean, because I was very aware of like, this is, you were really going through some real emotions and then also you know, you're there with your boss and it's all kind of being filmed. Like, was any of that in your head or were you just really in the moment and experiencing it?
I try not to pay attention to the cameras. I think I don't like to be aware of myself when I'm doing anything. I don't want to like be like, oh, I gotta do things.
I hope they don't give me funny hats here. It's just what those two would do.
But it is something that hit me. I was like, oh my God, I'm in Armenia with Conan O'Brien. What happened that this is my life right now? It is really strange that even
that's how you ended up visiting Armenia.
Right. Yeah, right.
Instead of sticking it out with that high school that you hated in Montebello. No, I left on my own.
I left it on my own. Yeah. Right. Just in the middle of 10th grade for no reason. No, it was one of those moments where I was like, okay, you know, you get an idea of where you've come from and where you are. And both of those kind of like came to a head there. Yeah, and it was crazy. It was just crazy.
But you can't think about it too much, like you said.
No.
Or it doesn't make sense anyway. So why dwell on it?
It is hard to process probably.
Yeah.
But I understand that. But also you have always... You're one of those people I get so jealous of because you said, I don't really pay attention to the camera.
Yeah.
You're not self-aware. And I think that is... such a gift that you have and
thank
such
you.
A
ta-
oh it's fan- you're fantastic always.
Well, I think it's a like I just you know, it's even with the podcast, I'm like, if this goes terribly, it's not my name on the podcast.
I
have nothing to lose because I also, you know, I don't want to be a performer, so if it doesn't go well it doesn't matter. And I think there's something really kind of liberating about not having anything to lose.
Those weekly lunches. Tax deductible.
Man, it must be so infuriating. There's so many people in LA that come here like just dying, just dreaming of getting on camera.
Since you were
and Sona's like, I don't care. I don't want to be here. I guess I'll do it.
And it seems the more I don't care, the higher I go.
Oh, look at me.
Sorry,
just
everyone
falling
else.
Falling on up. Look at that.
Sorry, every
kinda
waiter
assist,
and waitress I've had.
I kind of don't assist anymore. Yeah, I guess on the podcast. I don't know.
Were there points, I just recently rewatched Conan in Armenia, Conan and Sona in Armenia. Why did we just say Conan?
Yeah, man.
Were there points where you were, I really love the dynamic you have where he's kind of like your dad and sort of, you know, like embarrassing you a lot in front of people.
Yeah.
Did you ever actually feel embarrassed of him? I mean, we went out a lot into like, I don't know, we went to a flea market and he's... you know, haggling with people and picking really erotic paintings.
Oh, God.
I guess I just wonder, like...
Yeah, I do think, you know, part of the process is him just doing a lot of bits off camera, too.
Yes.
And there were moments off camera where I was just like, I just want to take this in. I don't need a bit all the time. I never talk about this because I don't want to, like, you know, offend Conan, but... There, especially all the bits that happened, like there was a police escort.
Yes. Right.
We had a police escort the entire time we were there. Like we were dignitaries. And so, you know, he made a lot of fun with it. And I'm looking out the window. I'm like, just shut up. I'm trying to look at the Armenian landscape.
Countryside.
Yeah. Like just stop with the bits and let me take this in. But it's what he does. It's like his process.
He can't stop.
Yeah.
I know. If this wasn't on camera, it would still be happening. Yeah. I think
so
is the truth.
It does. Yeah. But I mean, actually shooting stuff. No, I thought everything we did was just a lot of fun. I didn't really like when other people around are laughing, then you just don't really care as much that, you know, he's doing something that might be embarrassing because he's only embarrassing himself.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And Armenians, I mean, they seemed to have a really good sense of humor about everything.
Yeah, yeah.
They picked up quickly. I mean, and part of it might just be that Conan looks so funny to begin with.
I think that's how it is when we go anywhere, is that the way he looks is in such contrast. Like, there are people who can tan, and they have dark hair, and and then there's this giant white man. And and he's acting like a big goof, and they don't know who he is.
Yeah.
And they're just like, okay, we'll just let this guy scream in the middle of this market, and, you know.
I watched that again, and I'm just like...
He's like, oh, now that's the food of my people. And he picks up a potato. Yes. And he just goes, potato! Yeah. In this giant warehouse.
It's echoing. Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, wow, I can't believe he just, I'd forgotten he just yelled that. But then he just kept yelling it for 5 minutes. But, you know, when you're there making the show, you're like, this is
you're
great.
Like, get those reactions.
Yeah. Right. Get cutaways.
I know. What I think is fascinating, too, there's the cameras and then there's a group of people behind, like you guys Jason and like the local crew, the local producers, all just kind of huddled around. And the way everybody just sort of stays out of the shot is always so fascinating to me.
Hopefully that's our biggest fear is like when those things where all of a sudden someone's like going, move. And you're like, fuck, I'm in the shot. And sometimes I'll just turn and pretend like I'm a bystander and walk away.
Just blame it with the Armenians.
Pick up an orange.
That guy turns up at every location and then turns and walks away.
I know. Well, I remember when we went to the matchmaker's house, she just kept presenting one guy after the other that had all these big
and
red
that was
flags.
Just shooting fish in a barrel.
And everybody was dying. And we were in this house.
It was really funny.
And I remember being crouched under her desk or something. Yes. I was crouched and hiding and trying not to laugh out loud because
we're kind of in her study living room. Yeah. And we had our equipment there. So there wasn't a lot of places to hide.
Yeah.
But, she just kept showing one guy. She had like 80 guys. And she's like, do you want to look at more? And we're like, yeah, keep it coming. We'll cut it down. And
they were like from age 17 to 82.
Yes. Right. Yeah. All red flags.
During that segment, was any part of you actually like, let me check these guys out?
I was like, it would be nice to like meet somebody. And then it, you know, again, none of them really were viable.
Suitable.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What about other, just around Yerevan, were there ever any like fans that came up and you thought, oh, I don't know, maybe.
You know what? My birthday dinner, the server at my birthday dinner.
That was so much fun.
Guy.
Yes, I remember that.
And he was lighting those cognacs on fire and, you know, blowing them out.
You had to drink it and it was flaming.
Oh, right.
It was like flaming going down your throat.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that was a really fun dinner because we were eating like plates of lamb and then flaming cognac. And I was glad I didn't throw up.
I know. I got pretty wasted.
Yeah. I don't think I drank the flaming. I'd remember a flame going down my throat.
Yeah.
I feel like you did.
I feel like
you just didn't notice that it was on fire.
I think everybody did. Everybody on the table had to. Mm-hmm. Like you got probably pressured into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so that guy was hot.
There was a hot. I remember we kind of were like maybe trying to get his number or something.
Yeah. He wasn't into it.
Yeah, he might have been gay. I don't know.
He could have been. Yeah, he could have been.
We'll there's no other logical explanation. If you don't want to fuck a man, you... Hey! I'm glad we solved that mystery. It's worth waiting back in.
Oh, my God.
You know what? I remember how... Didn't we... I mean, it was pretty much going halfway around the world. I remember getting into that hotel, and we had to hit the ground running the next morning and shoot.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I was like, I've got to wake up. I did the jet lag.
That's a really long flight because we went over the North Pole.
Yes.
Right.
There's like an Emirates flight.
To Dubai.
To Dubai. Mm-hmm. And then to Yerevan.
Yeah.
Then a jet to Yerevan.
It was, you know, and people asked me how long we were there, thinking we were there for weeks.
No.
Yeah.
And I think we were there for
2.5-3 days.
Yes.
No way.
3 full days, I think.
I think so.
Yeah.
It was three or four full days
of just shooting.
And quit it.
Yeah, we hit
that
it.
Because we did so much. And then Conan was on 3 shows, too.
Yeah.
He was on 2 late-night shows. You guys played like Flip Cup.
Oh my
on the late
God.
Night show.
Yes.
Right.
I remember
getting drunk the whole time.
I really was. And I was like, I'm home.
You know,
this is home. This makes sense.
That TV host was kind of cute too.
You know what? There were 2 guys that were the host of a show, the
Comedians,
Arm Comedy Show, and I kept in touch with both of them.
That's nice. They came to visit the show in
LA. Yeah, they did. I kept in touch.
And then one of my favorite things ever, Conan, we started doing this on all the Conan Without Borders mm-hmm. travel shows. Oh, yeah. Was trying to get him on local soap operas.
Yeah.
Like the more serious the show, the better. Mm-hmm. Like they'd always, I think the countries would always pitch Conan on a comedy show. And it's like, yeah, but to put him in a drama.
No, he's a serious actor.
Yes, exactly.
With gravitas.
We're so filling true. Out his resume.
Yeah.
But that outfit for the Armenian soap opera, they put a black wig on him. And then they
dyed his eyebrows they black.
And he looked like Richard Kine.
Yeah. They tried everything to make him as Armenian as possible, and it did not work.
It was so... With that shot where I watched it again, the camera starts on him and his goons, but it starts on their feet, and it pans up to see Conan, and he's just like...
With a cigar.
You know, and I don't know if you remember, but I invited 20 people to that taping.
I don't remember that.
And you were, and rightfully so, you and Conan too, hate when it's a big group from all the same people. Like it's, you know, if it's like a group of like 20 people, it can disrupt the taping. Mm-hmm. I feel like you guys don't like big groups.
Well, we try
groups.
To keep a tiny footprint when we zip around.
Yeah. Well, no. When we, when we aired
taping.
The show
for
the audience in LA.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Which gave it the soundtrack. And you found out right before we were about to show the show, that I had 20 people and you met a lot of them and you're like, you guys gonna laugh? You're so nervous.
That's what I say when I meet everybody.
I know.
That's how he warms up the crowd.
Right. I know, but I think you were worried that they would
you guys gonna laugh?
I wasn't worried about them, but no, and that's an old thing in like back in New York and just when you have a studio audience, you don't want, ideally, you don't want a big group of like
the
12.
Same group.
The same group because they tend, if they're not good, that's 12. It's as if you just eliminated 12 seats in the audience. Does that make sense?
No, I agree with you.
Nobody from the group will laugh as an outlier.
Right.
Like no one's going to laugh on their own.
Or maybe they'll be great. But if they're not a good group.
Yeah.
And sometimes groups tend to be, they have
the same sensibility,
It's a bachelorette party.
And they're not, they're not fans.
Yeah, yeah.
They have a different agenda for being there, so.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I remember and I was like, oh my God, I did. I invited 20 people and I should have known better.
No, but that
but
was
luckily
perfect.
They were laughers.
It was a show about Armenia. We specifically, for that, like for when we'd screen the travel shows, mm-hmm. we always... Whatever, we'd put a call out for people from the whatever country we're going to.
Yeah.
So that was perfect.
Yeah. Well, and also I think because they saw my grandparents on, and they all knew them and
right.
they were just.
No, that's great.
And I think, I remember they lost it when they saw Conan in the soap opera. Just because they know Armenian soap operas and seeing Conan try to pass off as being Armenian.
Yes. And right. I think he had one line of dialogue.
Right.
That's all he could handle.
One word.
Yeah, one word, maybe.
Smoking a cigar. I loved that show. That was a really... People still bring it up to me all the time.
They do?
Yeah. It's been, what was that, 2015, I think?
Yeah.
And people still bring it up to me.
Yeah. What was the reception like when people first saw it? Were you just getting bombarded?
Yeah. I think I've been to every Armenian fundraiser that you could possibly go to.
Yeah, you like got the key to Glendale,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah. It was so much
fun.
Didn't
you sit on a float? You sat on a float.
I sat... That was huge.
Because
it was I didn't know this, but Armenians have a float in the Rose Parade every year.
Oh, cool.
And they asked me if I would be on the Rose Parade float.
Oh,
so
awesome.
I went at like 4 a.m. mm-hmm. and went and sat on a float for 6 hours.
Oh my
I have
God.
No idea.
On New Year's Day, right?
In the beginning, you're like, this is so exciting. And then like by hour three, you're like, oh, okay.
By 4:20 a.m. you're like, oh.
My hand hurts from waving.
I'm in Pasadena.
It was so fun, though. That was really cool. And also now, you know, we're getting... So my husband and I, we have our twin boys, and we're looking at preschools.
The
my Soviet husband. And we're looking at preschools, and we're thinking about sending them to Armenian school.
When
some of them have wait lists.
The one in Montebello? Yeah,
we were like, are there any near where we live? And there's like three. There's a million of us everywhere. but it does help to just be like, you know, I don't know if you know this, but...
Did you just slip a DVD copy?
DVD?
Maybe this will change your mind.
Wait list, you say? Here's this episode. episode I was in with a Conan O'Brien.
My kids are very poorly behaved, but check out this CD.
How did your family like watching the episode?
Oh, they loved it. And I think it really meant a lot to my dad, especially that, you know, I talked about his family and his parents who were both orphaned because of it. I think everybody was just really happy with how it turned out and how
proud of you.
How fun it was. Yeah. And they were really proud of, of that. I was, first of all, they've been very proud that I work for Conan.
Really?
Yeah. I think that, you know, everybody in my family knows who he is and knew who he was before I started working for him. And then when I started working for him and then they found out he was just a nice person, that was another. And then, you know, when my grandma passed away in December, I mean, Sweeney, you came to her funeral, which meant a lot. And Conan came to my parents' house. And and so it's, you know, I think that more even than the episode, the fact that I work with all these non-Armenians who are just so kind and nice and very understanding of our community and our culture means a lot to them. So that's really sweet. And, you know, it was really sweet that you did that.
Oh, well, of course. Yeah. She was adorable. She's so
she was
sweet.
Adorable.
She was
really cute.
Yeah, she is really sweet.
I didn't know you did that, Sweeney. That is nice.
I'm not going to try. I wore my best sweatsuit. And
you ruined
showed
it.
Up. I had to ruin it.
I know.
He warmed up the crowd.
Warmed up the crowd. No more than 10 people allowed at this funeral. You guys are going to laugh, right? Yeah. Oh, shit, it's a funeral. I get so confused.
No, it was really, and Chalemi also came. Yeah. Like a lot of people from the show, you know, came and that was really
Chalemi, you'll find Chalemi and me at a lot of funerals. We just checked
the
paper.
They were surprised to see you there.
Right, exactly. It doesn't matter who they are. Have we met them, not met them? Chalemi and I are there every Friday morning.
Creeps.
We're a couple of creeps. Sometimes, you know,
funeral crashers. Vince Vaughn and
sidle up to the widows.
Oh my God.
Your husband seemed like a great man, but are you ready to step up? Speaking of your grandmother and your parents, we brought some gifts back for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one of them was that painting.
Yes, the beautiful.
It wasn't that
It's not erotic. It's no, not that, she's not.
But it's a little.
It always reminded me of Tiffany Amber Thiessen from Saved by the Bell. That's who I see when I see that painting.
Okay.
Yeah, I see it.
So is that still hanging in their house?
It never hung in their house. It was under the bed, and it's always been under the bed. I mean, guys.
2 inches of dust on it.
Yeah.
But they didn't throw it out.
Of course.
Why should bring it here?
We should
bring it up here.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Bring it in.
I think it would have much more of a purpose in Conan's building.
I agree.
Yeah.
He should have to deal with the consequences.
And I assume all those the candied pomegranates bought.
They're still under the bed. Oh.
I would think those would age better than the painting, the way they look.
No, they were really excited. We opened that bottle of cognac that we brought and we drank it that day. I mean, we were, everybody
you brought
was...
that waiter back to set it on fire.
We flew him in just to open that bottle.
It was fun. I loved meeting your family and they were just as good on camera as you are because everyone's so natural.
Yeah.
It was like no one's thinking too much about the cameras being there or what, you know. What it's going to look like.
Yeah.
What their good side is.
Yeah, no, they're not those people. They were really nervous, though, about, saying something stupid.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
They seem so, like Jesse's saying, so unflappable. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I think they hit it well, or they just kind of like, once Conan started talking, they're like, okay, you know.
He's mostly going to talk.
Right.
And we'll occasionally get to chime in.
We'll nod.
Yeah. But also that language teacher, she also seemed really just sort of cool.
Yeah, very natural.
Conan took a language. Well, the first segment was Conan. Mm-hmm. Which he often does is like, I'm going to a new country. I need to be armed with some of I have to learn some language so I can survive.
Yeah.
Oh, and those were, I mean, she had great, because she was teaching him some local phrases.
Yeah.
Like, I eat your liver.
Yeah. I die on your body.
I die on your body.
Yeah.
And then he was using those. Then we cut to him in the market. In the show, trying out the phrases and everything.
And people, I was like, oh, there's no way anyone's going to know what these are. And he was killing.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Now he just, like, he only remembers Bada Vinch Besek.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, hello, how are you? And he says
he
that
knows
to
that
everybody.
In 15 languages. Yes.
Right, yes. Yes. He says, when he gets in an Uber, he says it automatically.
Automatically.
I'm from Ireland. Whatever. You're getting my Armenian in.
It's so true.
What does I'll eat your... Or I eat your liver. Mean.
I eat your liver.
It's, I mean, idiomatic.
Jiget it through that. Jiget is like a jiget is how you say liver.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it's a term of endearment. Like alone, right, it's a term. Sure. Of endearment. Like jigetis. Like you're
liver.
My liver. Right. But yeah, that's how a lot of Armenian words are. Like you know, cucumber is khiyad, and it's also something you call somebody who's an idiot. Like it's
a cucumber.
A cucumber. Yeah.
Oh, and that's great.
It's there's just a lot of terms
market
like
based.
That. Yeah, yeah. And they're very intense. Like one of it is hokis, like you're my soul.
Oh.
You know, but that's just really nice.
Right.
But jigetit is
yeah,
like
it's very that's there's a lot of passionate
yeah
undertones. I like it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, I eat your gallbladder. Is that more formal? Or is that a little like, let's you know, break the ice norm.
I eat your
no
appendix
rush.
Is, right. Is less formal.
Very less formal.
Because you don't need it.
Mm-hmm. Any vestigial.
I was just thinking, why has there not been an Armenian bachelor? Has there been?
I feel like no. There should
be.
They're all, aren't they all?
Yeah, they are usually all
except
white.
That one who was Latino. But then,
there's been one black guy, I think.
There was, right? Yeah. I stopped watching after we talked about it
season
when we were
48.
When we were herding sheep.
Right.
I talked
yes.
about the new season coming yes. out with Ben. And then I actually met him last week.
Oh, you
oh,
did?
You're kidding me.
Yeah. Weird. And I wanted to be like, I talked about you when I was herding sheep in Armenia, but I
you didn't
say
bring
it.
That up?
No, I didn't.
Because that was
I did
amazing.
It.
We drove out for, I mean, hours, it felt.
Yeah.
In,
into the countryside, off-road. I mean,
off-road.
In these SUVs.
No seatbelts.
Hours on main roads. And then we made a hard right turn on those back roads,
I
dirt
really
roads.
Thought that was it.
It
for
was
us.
Scary. Yeah.
Yes.
That was insane.
It was, and I remember it was just down, like super
really
steep incline.
Yes.
There were no switchbacks out there. It was like down, up,
yeah.
Where you thought, oh, this Jeep might tip backwards.
And we couldn't really communicate. We just kept asking the driver, like, you know where we're going? And he was just kind of nodding. Uh-huh.
Even the police escort was like, you
this
guys
is as far
are
as
on
I
your
go.
Own.
Yeah.
Good luck.
But then we really got it. I mean, there were real shepherds out there.
Yeah,
wearing tracksuits.
Yeah.
Or 6 miles. All of a sudden, there they were. Yeah.
Yeah. It was so cool.
It was beautiful.
Just seeing, you know, Ararat, the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've seen so many illustrations of that growing up.
Right.
And to actually see it in person felt surreal. But then when we're in the countryside, you could see it pretty clearly from where we were.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Right.
And then we put on those ridiculous outfits. And then we were
that
just...
That we had brought from L.A., right?
We brought
right?
from L.A. We brought from L.A.
It wasn't like authentic. Yeah. They were just like polyester from...
They were
spirit
researched.
Halloween.
They
I don't
were culturally correct.
Yes, no, they were. They were.
Oh, my
but
God.
No. We, of course, brought them... All the way from
They were fit to you guys.
Bring native garb from Burbank, California.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but that was, it was, I mean, we herded sheep. Like, that's just weird.
It was weird.
It was so fascinating, though. I was like, I never thought I would ever do this in my life.
I love that we were there for 3 days and we spent probably 8 hours driving out to get a sheep herding segment.
You have to get the shot.
You got
to
get the shot.
You got to get it.
but
then we did get to go to that place. It was like a little distillery where they were making apple vodka. And,
and then
the women were making the lavash bread.
The
lavash was cool. That was cool. Because I've never seen it made. I eat it all the time.
Yeah.
But only women can make it. Yeah.
Only women can make it.
Oh, only women can make it. It's like an underground oven. You put it on what seems like a pillow and just smack it against the edge of the wall.
Right.
Wait till it cooks
that's
just for a little
bit. It's like a pizza oven. It's that hot.
And then just take it out. And only women can make lavash. Like it's
traditionally
only made.
And is that true in the U.S. too? I mean, or what?
There is a place in Glendale. Yeah, there is a place in Glendale that does make fresh lavash, and I think it's they've stayed true to it. I think it's only women who can
designate it kosher. You know, maybe there are lavash rules.
I don't know, but it was so good.
I wonder if there's a note on the packaging that lets you know only women.
Or if it's been sullied by a man's touch.
Right. Yeah. But I remember I was eating that lavash, and then there was like feta cheese and some herbs, and it was just delicious. It was so simple, and it was so good.
Well, it was all grown. I mean, it was probably cheese from the sheep we were herding.
Yeah, right.
And they were very free range. Very free range.
Yes.
Yeah. But free range.
They had 800 miles to roam. Do you think you'll ever go back to Armenia?
I will. Yeah. I want to go with my kids.
I was wondering.
I want to take my boys there.
Does Tak still have any family there?
He does. He has some family that still lives out there. A lot of them came out here. Yeah. But he still has some family that lives out there. And, you know,
in Yerevan or?
In Yerevan.
Oh, wow.
Else. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So he still has family that lives there. So we always talk about it. We also, you know, we went to Israel too, all of us together. Right. And there's an Armenian quarter in Jerusalem.
Right.
And we would love to make it like a trip where we go there, then go to the Armenian, like then go to Israel and, you know, just be very Armenian. Like just hit every Armenian spot we could.
Armenia it up.
We just pop up everywhere. Like we went to Bethlehem, remember?
Yes.
We went, and then there was an Armenian church right next to.
Right. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We're just wherever, anywhere that's even slightly religious, we're like, let's go and just stay there. And
I didn't know that.
Open an outdoor mall.
Don't forget the car washes. 30 a block. That's our Armenian guarantee. That was the craziest thing about Jerusalem. I didn't know it was broken into four quarters.
Yeah.
And that the
Armenian
one of the quarters
is one of the quarters.
Was Armenian. Yeah.
It was the three biggest religions in the world.
Right.
And then Armenians. And
right.
Nobody questions it. It's just our little quarter. I know. I think that they're known for tile.
The most war-torn, insane city in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And scoop out a quarter of it. That in Glendale. All right, we're good.
Yeah. We just find a little spot and we take over and then that's it.
It's good real
people
estate.
People are like, well, they're here. They've always been here. And so they just deal with it.
And are you going to teach the boys Armenian?
We're speaking to them in Armenian now.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
But again, we speak two different dialects.
Yeah.
And then when Tak's parents come, they speak to them in Russian. And then my parents speak to each other in Turkish in front of them.
Oh, my God.
They're going to be like,
they're never going to speak.
I was going to say, I would be like, I don't know what you want me to say.
Yeah.
I'm going to use my hands.
They're just going to type emojis to you.
I'm going to point to things I want in my mouth.
Yeah. No, my one of my boys already uses his hands a lot, like Armenians. Mm. Like he was trying to lift something and his brother was standing on there and he went like this.
Ah.
Like, get up. Like, why are you on there? And it was such an Armenian thing to do.
Oh, I love that.
And he just got it from seeing us be like, just talk with our hands a lot and
stuff. That's great.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, so what's next for you?
Just do I ever have a plan?
No.
I love that you don't, though.
That's the way to do it.
I think it's very...
kind of seeing how things go.
You know, people used to ask... I when I started in TV, I was like, I need to do this, I need to do this, I need to do this. And then I just got to a place where I'm like, this is fine.
Yeah.
Working for Conan's fun. It's cool. I like it. I get paid. It's fine. So I think after that, I was just like, all right, I'll do that. I'll sit on a panel for auto advertising and a podcast. Literally anything anyone asks me, I'm like, sure, I'll do that. I'll try that. Yeah. Why not? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, whatever comes next, who knows? I'm remodeling my kitchen right now.
Oh, right. Okay.
You got a
Pinterest?
No.
I love that you're balancing, like, I'm remodeling the kitchen. And, I just was cast in the lead of a new independent movie. It's like, that would be plausible, too.
Sure, I did. Yeah. I guess I'll do that. Why not?
Yeah, they offered me the second lead.
I'll be the ambassador to Armenia.
Oh, there's got to be a political future.
Oh, for, yeah. I love that.
No, who wants to go into politics? Okay. What an awful
isn't
world.
It? What's the difference between politics and Hollywood?
So
much. The Hollywood I'm in, a lot. No, I'm in a good Hollywood.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everything here is chill.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're not like, it's no one's like grabbing our ass and like being like, I don't know.
Unfortunately not, yeah.
What's it gonna take?
I put it out there every day.
Yeah. I don't know. What are you guys gonna talk, what's the next remote?
No, we're going to do a whole season on remotes and travel shows.
That's very cool.
Yeah. And and get some people we haven't spoken to yet. Probably some we already have.
Yeah.
And I don't know. He's got to do more remotes so that we can keep, the tail can keep wagging the dog.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Even though there's like 700 we could talk about.
Yeah.
You guys miss it? Traveling, editing remotes and stuff?
Yeah. Yes. That's, I mean,
That was most of my travel.
Yeah.
It really was.
It would be intense and surreal.
Mm-hmm.
Like we'd be in Greenland for 2 days.
Yeah.
And then be right back
at the editing bay for 4 days.
Yeah, yeah. And then edit right away. And you're like, were we among all those icebergs? I guess so. There's photos of it, but we were literally there, like the icebergs in Greenland. It was on our way out. So we were in the capital.
Mm.
And we had to fly an hour north to go to the icebergs. And they were like, you have an
You're
going to
miss your flight. Yeah.
Or we'd miss our flight. You have an hour out there and you have to get everything in an hour and get back and hightail to the airport. Mm-hmm. So,
and they were melting as we were out there.
Right.
Oh,
like,
no.
I don't know if you know about climate change. But So that, it wasn't for the footage. I'd be like, oh, we were never.
Yeah.
Do you ever get frustrated that you can't see more when you guys are there because you're working so
we're
much?
We're working.
Yeah.
I'm always just making
a note.
That
always frustrated me.
Yeah, is that how you felt? Because I usually just keep a running list of notes of like, well, when I come back, I'll do all this better.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you ever get to go back? Yeah.
To one place? I went back to Tokyo and I went back to Mexico City.
Oh, that's
great. And love both of those cities so much.
Yeah. You went back to Cuba.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I went back to Cuba. I went back to Mexico City.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Berlin because my wife was working there. And I got just a few months after we were in Berlin. And that was one of my favorite things ever because she was working and I got to just be like, I'm going to go look at the Berlin Wall and not have to worry about what the shot looks like.
Yeah.
So that was great.
It really is hard sometimes to travel because you are, like I was in Armenia, but we would spend hours in a specific location. So you're not really like out there looking at everything, but you're looking at it in a different way.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is also
better
cool.
And worse in ways because you're getting access you would never get in a lot of cases. Like, I would never get to go behind the scenes of this thing if I was just visiting here on my own.
Right.
But you also don't get a chance to explore it all. You can never wander off. Or sometimes we would wander off. Like I would notice you or I, Sweeney, we'd be like, okay, I'll make eyes with you. You're going to take 5 minutes and go back through that market real fast, or I'm going to do that.
Right.
But you'd have so little time.
Yeah.
It was
no time. Well, that's exciting. I love that you've been to places with Conan that now you want to bring your kids back to Jerusalem and Armenia.
Oh,
that's great.
For sure.
And there's probably others we didn't even get to talk about.
No. I was in Japan the same time you guys were there for your honeymoon.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So I had a very different.
Did we bother you?
No, we were past.
Okay.
We were never in the same city.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much. So good to see you.
I will come back anytime.
Oh, please do.
I love you too very much.
We love you.
We love you unconditionally. Thank you, Sona.
Thank you, Sona. I love Sona.
Yes. And it's a great way to come back to start a new season.
It was a great way to ease back into the season.
It was, because she's
a good guest.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah. And we have a listener. It's not exactly a question.
Mm-hmm.
We usually read listener questions on the show.
Yes.
This one is, I think, more of a listener complaint.
Oh, better still.
Which I...
Let's just start doing listener complaints.
I'm here for it. Exactly.
Ooh.
I know. Don't open those floodgates.
I take it back.
Okay. It says, Jesse and Mike, take this all in fun.
Oh, boy.
A summer hiatus? ? Hey, this is podcasting, not a cushy late night show that has long summer breaks. Conan and Andy Richter still drop their pods every week. Mm-hmm. No summer hiatus for those folks. Or maybe you have other jobs, as the next Conan show is in limbo. Of course you do. That Conan squeezed you for all your funny, but now you need to go out and create crazy for other shows. Seriously, I work in Saudi Arabia, and your podcast and the Conan and Andy Richter podcast actually make my weeks a little more enjoyable. Cannot wait for your fall startup. I hope you have not run out of Inside Conan guests. Love the pod. Need more.
Wow.
Craig.
Okay. That's a nice...
It was actually a nice email.
That's not a complaint. That was a I wish I got more
compliment
complaints like
wrapped
that.
In a complaint. Yeah.
If other people want to complain like that, please have at it.
But it's true. We did take off some time. Yeah. We took off a long break, but you and I both took other jobs.
We did.
And now we're back. And we have not run out of guests.
Yes.
Much to the contrary.
But we've refused to do other podcasts while we've been gone.
That's right.
We've been loyal to this podcast. I have, especially because no one's asked me to do a podcast.
Yes, that really helps.
It really helps.
But we hope that we will be back in your ears every week now, Craig. Yeah. And I think you're really going to like this season as we keep exploring Conan on the road.
Yes.
And hey, if you want to send us a complaint or a compliment or a question, you can always email us insideconanpod@gmail.com, or you can leave us a voicemail 323-209-1079. And I think we're going to wrap this up by just saying specifically to Craig and nobody else, we love you.
Yes, Craigie.
Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast, is hosted by Mike Sweeney and me, Jesse Gaskell. You can rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.
And of course, please subscribe and tell a friend to listen to Inside Conan on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or whatever platform you like best.
It's the Conan Show. Put on your hat. It's the Conan Show. Try on some spats. You're gonna have a laugh. Give birth to a calf. It's Conan.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.